So you've obviously been teaching for a long time, and I'm wondering, what changes have you seen in piano students from when you first started teaching and piano students now?
Well, and we're talking about San Diego, in California, Southern California, but I hear from teachers all over the United States, and don't think I've had a recent conversation with somebody in Europe, but here in the United States, and particularly, since you and I are in Southern California, where the students are becoming even more involved in so many activities, and the academic push or achievement that many of them are striving for is beginning to make practice at a reasonable hour and in the right conditions more difficult. Mm-hmm. And in fact, this past weekend at the Music Teachers Sonatina Festival here in San Diego, certainly Jane Bastian, the chair of the event, and I had quite a discussion about what kinds of changes we were seeing in our students. Uh-huh. But, they're very heavily involved. And so the biggest challenge I think that current piano teachers are going to have is, first of all, getting those students to the lessons on a regular basis where they aren't in band concerts or swimming or soccer or you name it. Mm-hmm. And that the students are, their time is, they're competing for many minutes in a day with many different activities. And so that's, I think, the biggest change. Students still present the same kinds of practice issues. Mm-hmm. I've had wonderful students throughout my career, very bright students. Others more challenging, that come with emotional issues. I don't think that's changed so much. Mm-hmm. Because students are also, I think, involved in so much, sometimes I feel that just as we are, as adults, are a little more scattered because we have our iPods and our telephones, our cell phones chiming at us all the time, that it's easy to become very distracted. And so sometimes I find the challenge of even developing the concentration that's needed, it has changed a little bit because we are just bombarded with so many different things coming at us.
So you've actually seen a change in children's ability to concentrate from when you first started teaching to now?
Not for all students, but in general, yes. Wow. And also with college students, who are even more distracted by those cell texting and high school students. But certainly I think you would see that university professors would tell you that when students can come in with a computer that they're much more easily distracted by checking their email than listening to the lecture. Uh-huh. And so that you start seeing that the student is a little more scattered. So, yes, I'd say that. Does that mean that the student can't learn to concentrate? I think that's one of the beauties of piano instruction. Mm-hmm. Is, in fact, a parent tonight was telling the student that was with me, well, you can't lie when you come for a piano lesson. it should become very apparent if the student has been able to concentrate and have good practice at home. Mm-hmm. And certainly the discipline of practice and concentration that we must have when we are studying piano is a very important element. So I have students who develop it very well, and certainly that's another thing as a piano teacher we have to be aware of, is how to keep our students involved in their lesson. My first lesson this afternoon was with a student who is a first grader, and mom was asking how much time the student should practice. Mm-hmm. And I says, well, it when she's not with me in a lesson, because the student takes a 45-minute lesson and she's right with me the entire time.
Okay.
But the lesson is designed so we're moving through a lot of different activities. Mm-hmm. We're interacting. We're answering questions. We're looking at ideas about our music so that she has wonderful concentration for those 45 minutes.
Yeah.
It's really right there all the time. But her mom says when she's home alone practicing that it's a little hard. So one of the things I suggested is breaking it into smaller segments where she can keep her concentration for longer.
Okay. What are some misconceptions that you feel are out there about piano lessons?
Well, and I'd have major colleagues across the country who would disagree with what I'm going to say, that... first of all, that it's all just fun.
Okay.
and yes, fun can be important, and yes, one must enjoy what they're doing when they come to lesson. I think everybody's philosophy should be that the student should start the day and end the day finding the joy in music. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot of parents say, oh, I just want them to experience this.
Okay.
So that's one thing. And to generally what I have found that a parent means when they say, oh, I just want my student to experience having music, it means being able to play a piece and have a little bit of fun. And what parents oftentimes don't recognize is that to become good at anything, mm-hmm. whether it's the next great Michael Phelps swimming, mm-hmm. or the next Gabby Douglas as a gymnast, or the next Long Long as a classical pianist, or even the next best mathematician or physicist, mm-hmm. that it takes hard work.
Yeah.
That it's, we would not say, oh, I just want them to have fun with their math. that obviously that you have to have a strong grounding and move forward and anything in life. And so that I think too oftentimes parents don't understand the importance of practice, that becoming good at anything takes a little bit of dedication, and sometimes that means that even though mom and dad are really tired at night, that it may mean that finding that extra energy to help the student and supervise the student in their practice.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's just, well, if the teacher has had a couple of years, we can study down the street with Susie because she did piano for 2 years, so now she can teach my son or daughter. I think one doesn't, you know, certainly you wouldn't want to put your son or daughter into a elementary classroom with somebody who has only got 2 years of mathematical experience to teach them mathematics.
Yeah.
Yes, they can help with the practice at home, but that's, I think sometimes it's also parents knowing who they're looking for to find as a qualified teacher.
Actually, that goes well into the next question. What are some misconceptions you hear about piano teachers?
Well, the largest thing, and one of your colleagues actually did a thesis study for me, and I was quite disappointed with the statistics that she gathered in her study, to see that that teachers weren't changing. I would like to, you know, most of my colleagues across the country who have pedagogy programs who are very devoted to improving the teaching of piano would be very discouraged to hear that a lot of piano teaching is still done by people who don't have degrees in music, who maybe don't know the repertoire very well, and haven't taken time to look at how to teach piano well. And it was also discouraging in Katie's study to see that a lot of people, you were saying how you now go home and think about your lessons, mm-hmm. that too many people teach a lesson, don't come prepared, they don't have a lesson plan, write the lesson in the 30 minutes that they're, send the student out, and that there isn't a desire to try to help the student expand their knowledge and really grow in many ways musically. Mm-hmm. And so what Katie was finding in her study is that too many of the people teaching piano were not participating in workshops. Uh-huh. Or going to conferences where they could learn a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So hopefully as we get more online resources that you and I have talked about, mm-hmm. that more of the people who are teaching will take some time to, like you going home and thinking about your lesson and saying, how could I do this better? That the bigger field of piano teachers are constantly evaluating their skills and trying to improve. Mm-hmm. The whole idea is to make it better for the child who is studying music and in whom we want to develop a love of the instrument and mm-hmm. of the music that they're playing.
Now, you touched upon the, you mentioned it, that the piano teaching part of it. And, I mean, I asked this question because I had the same misconception when I was an undergrad, and I've shared this with you before, in that, you know, getting my bachelor's in piano performance, you know, I figured, hey, I play decent, I'm a nice person, I'm good with kids, I'm good with parents.
Yes, you are.
I'm kind of funny sometimes.
Yes.
So I'll be like, hey, I'm a good piano teacher, you know, give me some students right now. But then when I went to get my master's, you know, and started taking all the pedagogy courses, that's when I really realized that there's so much to piano teaching than just being able to play piano. You know, I mean, everything that you talked about so far, about pedagogy, there's just so much information. And going through the program, you know, it's one thing that happens going through the pedagogy program is instead of being like, okay, I've got all this knowledge about pedagogy, I'm good. Instead, now I'm thinking, wow, there's so much more to learn. And you talk about the workshops, you know, the classes. You know, now it's like, okay, I need to go to these things and learn even more mm-hmm. about how to teach. As opposed to just relying on, you know, whatever I knew before or how I was taught, if I can remember how I was taught.
Yes.
and just, you know, being able to play. So I think that's one thing that it was a big eye-opener for myself going to a pedagogy program. Okay, so do you have anything to add to that?
Well, in fact, there is so much to know. And anyone who works with children has to, or advancing students, and a college-age student, has to understand their processes of learning, which as someone who hasn't had any educational background or apart from even just music, who hasn't looked at how students learn, mm-hmm. What are the psychological issues in their development that support their success in music? Being aware of what their support systems are in the home and mm-hmm. with the parents. Then, going back to our initial discussions about, okay, what is it that we teach? Why do we teach methods? And what is it that we're trying to project in those methods? How do we organize our teaching materials? All the literature, and as you know from pedagogy class, one semester in intermediate pedagogy class does not cover yeah. all of the repertoire that's available to, whether it's the material that's been written by our wonderful pedagogical composers across this country and around the world, or whether it's the standard repertoire. We have so much music, and we have jazz, and we have duets. We have so much that we can do, and each yeah. one presents activities, problems that we have to solve with the student. And so, no, that can't all be learned by just yeah. learning how to play the piano yourself.
Very true.
Okay.
Okay, some more personal questions.
Okay.
Book recommendation on piano. If you have to recommend some books for either parents or piano teachers, piano in general. What are some books that are your favorites and you go back to and reference?
Oh my, okay. And I need to update some of these. But in terms of just knowing the repertoire, we have so many wonderful books now that teach us about, that are important to my library, whether it's Maurice Hinson, The Guide to the Pianist mm-hmm. Repertoire, yeah. or Jane McGraw's The Teaching Repertoire, Kathy Albergo and Reed Alexander's mm-hmm. Intermediate Rep Guide. All of those materials are vital to me. In fact, my Maurice Hinson's sitting next to my computer right now because uh-huh. I'm beginning to prepare students for Certificate of Merit. Uh-huh. And so there's those types of books. Then I have my favorites on teaching. So certainly some of the books we looked at were Robert Duke's books, mm-hmm. the University of Texas professor, our wonderful books about teaching. Of course, going back to cognitive development, mm-hmm. I'm a strong advocate for Bruner and all of the cyclic, and sequential type learning. Then if you start launching into all the special books on each individual composer, whether it's books on how Chopin taught or, mm-hmm. you know, that there's all these wonderful books, the list yeah. goes on and on. Just like the teaching, one can read for the rest of their life.
Yeah. Could I check out your library after the interview? See what kind of books you have?
Actually, most of it is in my storage closet because I haven't been able to bring it to my house yet.
Okay.
Along with all my piano literature from San Diego State. So it's uh-huh. still in a storage closet because I've got to organize what I got to do because it's all coming here.
Uh-huh. Okay. I'll take a look at them some other time.